ladies, Chayvus Halavus Shir, Sunday morning, Chaf Yud Zayin or Yud Ches Sivan. Mr. Zabrowski's not here, we can put it on high. You know, I was going to come 3 minutes late, and now I'm happy I didn't. Everything's Bahashgacha. Okay. So before we have this Sunday morning, Shahr HaBechina, I just want to read you what we've done in the Sefer. I might have mentioned we have like a family newsletter that we send around on Fridays, so my far-flung family could know what's happening with everyone. So here I have my son in Flatbush. His son broke a collarbone. He fell off a couch, and they went to the doctor, orthopedist. He took x-rays, and he said the collarbone was broken right through, but nothing to do about it. It heals by itself. He explained how it worked. Now my son didn't learn Shahr HaBechina, so he didn't write unbelievable Nefilas Hashem. He wrote pretty cool. The body forms a ball of cartilage over the gap where the bone is cracked. It then turns into a ball of bone, and then that eventually takes the shape of the bone after many months. That's it. He said I should be able to feel the bump, and it means everything's working the way it's supposed to be working if you feel a bump. So that's what the body does. No one who programmed the body to do that. How does the body know that a bone is broken? Like, where does it come from? Cartilage turns into bone, a ball, then it gets shaped. So this is what we're learning about, to never fail to be amazed and to say, you know, this I'm experiencing Hashem. We're learning Chavis Halvavus Shahr HaBechina. We're coming towards the end, and he's talking about amazing. We said last week that Chavis Halvavus was said something that he didn't know how right he was. In his limited, to us limited, he seems quite educated, but to us, his limited knowledge of physics for his time, he lived well over 1,000 years ago, he describes that movement is the engine of the world, and everything is movement, and everything that happens in the world is movement. Now he's talking about change and compound, he's talking about only change and compound mixtures. If you would have asked him about a piece of wood or a piece of iron, so he would have said, Anachanami, there's no movement. But we know now that this movement, that the whole Bria is movement. And he really describes it that way. He says, Kol Lule Hatnua, if not for movement, Lohoisa Nigmeris Havoya Shum Doberman Nimtsaos, nothing could come into existence. Below have Sedom, and nothing could be destroyed. Nothing would happen. Now we know that's like, it's much more than that. Everything is movement. Time is movement. The whole Bria is energy, and which is the battery that moves everything. Bomer Echad Menah Philosophim, one of the philosophers, a wise man, said, Rov Hatvoim in Atenua, most of nature is in movement. We would say now all of nature is in movement. Everything is in movement. Uchshetovin sod Atenua, when you understand the mystery of movement, Petaskil inyan amitoso, and you understand the deep the nature of it, you perceive its true nature, Ruchniosa, and its Ruchnios, the spiritual character, because where is the movement coming from? Who started it? Who gave the first push? Why did it start moving? Why did anything start happening? So obviously you come to Hashem. Now, he doesn't talk about that all the movement has a pattern. Nothing's haphazard. Living things grow, and then they decay, and maybe it goes back into the ground, and it fertilizes the ground to grow again. The atoms that are in the world are not just wandering around, you know, they form a pattern. They form everything in the world, every piece of skin, every cell is amazingly complex, and it's put together, and everything is systematic and patterned and follows a pattern. So it's not stam movement, but it's movement with a cheshbon, movement that creates, movement that makes things happen and makes things work. It didn't have to be that way. Even if you have movement, it could have been chaotic. And, well, according to quantum physics, maybe it is chaotic, but it's a chaos that ends up purposeful and accomplishes what it's supposed to accomplish. Movement is one of the great marvels of Hashem's wisdom. And, of course, everything, because what does the movement create? Movement creates air to breathe. Movement creates food to eat. Movement creates water to drink. Movement creates clothing to wear. Movement creates us. It creates everything that exists in the world. So it's chokhmah, planning, ingenuity, and chesed. Oz yisbara lecha, and if you delve into it deeply and you say, like, where is this coming from? You all of a sudden, if you are a thinker, if you think, you don't just, you know, get used to habit or the way things go, you will realize ki kol tenu osecha. It's like you'll have shivisi Hashem lenegdi samit. That's what the Chavis Halava says, because Hashem is moving everything, because he's the prime mover, he is the original mover, he's making everything move. So Hashem is here with you. Hashem is making you grow. Hashem is making you walk and talk and breathe, and everything that you do and everything that's happening around you, whether it's the rain or gravity or anything. So you feel Hashem. That's what he says. Kikoltenu osecha niksharos b'chefetz habore yisale. You all of a sudden realize that everything in the world, and this is great for bitachon, and it's great for emunah, because you say everything's moving because Hashem wants it to move. It's all Ratzon Hashem. So everything that happens is Ratzon Hashem, because nothing is stam happening. That's his point here in Shaar HaBechina. Nothing happens. There's movement and thing. And as I said, the movement is very well organized and patterned, and it results in things that are useful and that we use that we need to live. So, and everything is happening Baratzim Hashem. Aktana v'agdola shebohem, the greatest of things, the smallest of things. Yeah, I can't talk to you now. Bye bye. Aktana v'agdola shebohem v'agluya v'anesteres, whether it's open or concealed, except for the biggie. What's the biggie? Bechira. And that's amazing. Everything that happens in the world is Ratzon Hashem, and Hashem left a corner that he didn't paint in. And it's amazing, because he withdrew Kivayachal. He withdrew, because he gives us the power to choose. And what?
Kivayachal. You just said Yachal.
Hashem can't withdraw. Hashem is. Kivayochol means so to speak. It's a Hebrew for so to speak. We don't know what he did, right? If we thought about it too long, it would give us a headache, for sure. We don't know the nature of Hashem, really. We don't know what it means Hashem said. We don't know what it means Hashem did. There's no movement in Hashem. Hashem doesn't move. Movement is change, right? We know that now. Change is movement. Movement is change. There's no change in Hashem. It's a part of Hashem Echad. So Hashem doesn't move. So if Hashem doesn't move, so what does it mean he spoke? What does it mean he did? What does it mean he said? What does it mean he gave the Torah? He doesn't, like, these are very deep, heavy questions. But right now, the Pella is that Hashem powers everything in the world. Every part of your body, every part of the solar system, every part of all the solar systems, every part of everything, and he left over for mankind because of his chesed. Because, we'll just assume the Ramchal's way of understanding it, that with our bechira, with our free will, we earn Olam Haba, we earn to bond with Hashem. If Hashem, you say, well, if Hashem really wanted to do chesed, so he would have just created man and let him bond with him, and that would have been a great chesed. But we're all parents, we know it's not a chesed. It's not a chesed to give someone a freebie. That's what Ramchal explains, and we all know that it's true. Right? The happiest people are not the people that win the lottery. They end up being miserable most of the time. A happy person is a person that works and earns the money that they get. Then you feel a sense of accomplishment, and you've earned it. So Hashem did the same thing with the world. We don't understand how he could have done it, but he did it. He withdrew, and he left space for us to function. So how did the Chavis Lava say that now? Because he's saying that if you delve in, movement is everything. And he didn't know how everything it is. But we'll talk from our perspective. Movement is everything. And Hashem is moving everything. So nothing can happen. So even like, from a physics standpoint, not from a theological, you know, you can talk theology, nothing happens unless Hashem wants it to happen. But that's like, you know, okay, nothing can happen if Hashem wants it to happen. Anima amin. But he's saying it's physics. Physics leads us to that conclusion. Because Hashem is moving everything. So somebody has to be moving everything, and everything is movement. So Hashem is moving everything. So if Hashem is not moving it, it's not happening. It's not going to happen. So everything, like, it's almost as if physics, unless you just blank out and say, I'm an atheist, so everything just happened, which is absurd. Right? We know that's absurd. The Chavis Halevavah says it's absurd. All the Mishalim that we know of, if you would find one sentence written, a coherent sentence, and someone would tell you what happened because the ink spilled, you would quickly lock them up in the crazy house. And every cell of the skin we're learning, and if we don't learn, you have to do research. It's a chiyuv, shara b'china. Every cell, and there are millions and millions of cells in your skin, in your body, every cell is much more complicated than a skyscraper. Way more complicated. So he's saying, so from physics, Hashem is moving everything. So that means everything that's happening is Hashem's will. With one exception. That's what he has to say, the exception. Chutz mimash yasom birshuscha mibechiras tov vara. Now he's going to explain in Shar HaBitochon, and he explained it a little in Shara Avodas Elokim, that really, when you have your free will and your choice, it's really a very small part of what you're doing. For example, I decide I want to do a mitzvah, and I decide I want to do a chesed. So that decision is my free will. But everything that follows, I'm dragging Hashem along with me. Meaning, is my car going to start? That's not me, that's Hashem. Am I going to be able to carry through and be able to do it? That's not me, that's Hashem. All the millions and millions of parts that have to come together to enable me to do that chesed is all Hashem. So, and amazingly, the opposite is true also. Because Hashem wants Bechira to function, so if I decide to do an Aveira, Hashem has to enable me to do it. So it's like, you'll excuse the expression, but that's the expression we must use. Hashem is forced to do something that's against his will. It's his larger will, because he wants us to have Bechira. But he doesn't want me to steal. And he's the one that my hand is working. I'm not suffering a stroke. My mind is commanding my hand to steal. and everything, all the pilei abriya and all the ployim of Shar HaBechina is working in something that Hashem doesn't want it to happen. Hashem is against it. It's against Hashem's will. But Teretz says, of course, that it is Hashem's will, the larger will, that we be able to have Bechira. And if every time I tried to steal, I had a stroke, or I would command my hand to do something, there wouldn't be any Bechira quickly. Within 30 seconds, no one would be doing Averas anymore. Because you couldn't do an Avera. And you would see in front of your face that Hashem doesn't want you to do it. So in order to enable Bechira, Hashem has to allow things to happen. But my point is, yeah.
So you want to do something good, but Hashem doesn't allow it to happen. You want to go visit someone sick and your car breaks down,
right,
or whatever, and you don't make it there. So how do you explain that?
There's nothing to explain. Hashem didn't want it to happen. He had his reasons. But that's why the Gemara says you get your schar. Because your schar is for the Bechira. And the Bechira was there anyway.
Uh-huh.
You made your Bechira. The question is the other way. See, we're not really... The question is, why does the Gemara say that you don't get punished for having evil thought if again, your Bechira is only the thought, and Hashem didn't allow it to happen, so why don't you get punished for it? So there's really an easy answer, that people are not so aware that the Gemara says on your third try and on, you do get punished for it. It's only... Hashem like sort of gives you the benefit of the doubt that you wouldn't have done it, that you would have reconsidered at the last moment because you're a fine Jew and you don't want to do Averis. Once you're habitual, and habitual is only two times, then the rule changes and you do get punished for planning an evil deed. That's a Gemara before Eshes, and that's really the simplest answer to that question. Anyway, that's going off the subject. He's just had to say that chutz, except for choosing good and evil. V'chashe yisbar lecha zeh. And once you realize that, again, that Hashem, mitzad the physics of the world, Hashem has to want everything that's going on, tifko ratz v'chol v'chol tenua sha tenua. Now you're going to really feel shivisi Hashem l'negdi summit. If you really, he's giving you like a pathway. A person that's really aware of this and cognizant of it, and does Shar HaBechina, and says Hashem is empowering everything that takes place, all of a sudden you go, yikes, everything I'm doing, Hashem is here, Hashem is allowing me to cross the street, Hashem is this, you know, I'm going to violate His will in His face, how can I do that? So it's very empowering in terms of keeping honest and doing Hashem's will. Uzuchor hakesher, and you will remember the bond, asher koshecha habore bo, because Hashem is empowering everything you do. Everything I do is because Hashem wills that I do it. Hashem is not just allowing me to do it, Hashem is empowering me to do it. So that's a very close relationship. I feel He's here, He's hovering over me, He's letting me do it. Now I have Bechira, but He's letting me create, He's letting me do all the things that I do, but He's here. This boshesh b'minu tamid, and you'll develop busha, a good kind of busha, the kind of busha that's sort of a super yiras Hashem, the kind of busha that how can you do an evil deed while you're standing in front of the melech? It's just inappropriate. Not you're afraid of being punished, it's just it's inappropriate to act that way. And you'll feel, so Shar HaBechina, this is an added point that's not so commonly known. And that is that Shar HaBechina helps you to develop Hashem awareness, and that's good for everyday life. That's good for everyday life to realize that Hashem is empowering everything in the world and empowering everything we do. And therefore we thank Hashem because there's so much, every time I move my arms or I breathe or anything or I swallow, it's thank you Hashem. Betira also, and you'll develop Yiras Hashem because He could pull it back any moment. Betimoser ledino uretse b'gzeiroso. This is very interesting. why? Why is this true? How does this follow? Timoser Ladino means you will accept his judgment. When he makes things happen, you will willingly accept it. Uretse Begzeirosov. This is a big yesod in the Chovis Halavos. He elaborates on it in different places in the Sefer, mostly in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, but he mentions it a few times throughout the Sefer. You will willingly accept his decrees. Uretse, not just throw up your hands and say, what can I do? Hashem is stronger than me. Halavai, we would do that. That's nice. You know, it's better than getting angry and saying, why did Hashem do this to me? And how could Hashem do this to me? And in an angry way. If you're saying, why did he do it to me, in an inquisitive way, that's only good. But if you say it angrily, resentfully, that's very no good. But it's not the highest madrega to even say, what can I do? Hashem is stronger than me. But he wants us to want Hashem, to willingly accept what Hashem does. Now, how does this follow? Because if you, again, he's looking at it, movement, Hashem wants everything. 95% of the world is good to me. Right? I'm breathing, I'm alive, I have a family, I have a house, all these great things are happening every moment, and I'm very consciously aware that Hashem is doing it. And then there's a bump in the road. So what's more logical? And I have developed the idea that Hashem knows all, and he's not asleep at the switch, and he loves us, etc., 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 etc. So what's more logical? That an accident happened here, chas v'shalom, or that it's good, but I don't get it yet, because not everything am I going to get, why it's good. But Hashem is, 95% of the things he does is good, and he's empowering everything, so he empowered this too. Is it logical at all to think, that, like, he got annoyed, and he said, you know, I'm letting this person's kidneys work every second. I think I'm going to zap them with this thing in their lives. It's not mustabra. So the Chavit HaLavas really wants us to willingly ritzei b'gzeirosov, which is superhuman. Superhuman. But really, as I always say, Halacha demands it, because the Gemara demands it, because we have to make a Dayan HaEmes b'simcha. And we're making a Dayan HaEmes because we don't get it. We don't get why it's bad. We don't get why it's good. Right? We see the bad. We feel the bad. It hurts. Someone punches us in the stomach. It hurts. It hurts a lot. There's practical ramifications, because whether it's a job or a shidduch or health, it hurts. But you have to catch yourself and willingly accept that. Chazal demands that we willingly accept it. Not just accept it, as I say, because Hashem's stronger than me, so what am I going to do? You can't fight City Hall. But you will develop this. I don't want to go off on it. This is like a separate philosophical discussion, the theological discussion. Chazal throws it in here because it's beautiful. It's Shara Bechina second after Shara HaYichud. I can't stress enough what that means. And you have all these benefits if you do Shara HaBechina. So he's saying if you do Shara HaBechina, you become keenly aware that Hashem is responsible for everything going on in your life. And the overwhelming majority of things going in your life is positive. So even if things appear to you to be negative, that's what he's saying, you're going to say to yourself, you know, Hashem is Hashem. And now, that's all. Now, it doesn't mean you sit back and accept it and go to sleep, because you're not supposed to do that. The Gemara says, you say, you have to, first of all, you daven. It's not good, meaning, I shouldn't have said that. It's not the ideal. We're making dynamics. It's because it's an imperfect world. In a perfect world, nothing would even seem bad. Nothing would hurt. And this hurts. So there's different ways to approach it, because it's for a good purpose. So it could be, as I say, it could be you missed the plane and the plane crashed. Right? That's a no-brainer. That's easy. right? The shidduchim are not working out, and then you meet someone and you realize, you know, he was still 6 years old when you started going out. You had to wait for him to grow up, but he's the man of your dreams. I say, you had to wait. Or v'chahena, v'chahena, and all these things, and then sometimes you don't get it. Sometimes you never get it, and it's an isoyon of emuna. Sometimes it's a kapara. Sometimes it's to develop our character. The Chavis HaLovis really goes into the various reasons of why bad things happen to good people in Shar HaBitachon. Shar HaBitachon, because it's so crucial to Bitachon, to believe that Hashem is always a mative, or else how can you have Bitachon? How can I rely on someone that once in a while, just for the heck of it, wants to, you know, mess me up? Chas v'shalom. It doesn't happen that way. So you develop that idea that Hashem is Baal Chesed, and you develop it from Shar HaBechina. Really, that's why, you know, again, the Chagav Olis is so structured. You know, you want to jump and skip Shar HaBechina, Shar Yichido, we're going to skip Shar Yichud. It's too philosophical. But the truth is, if you skip Shar HaYichud, you don't have the tools to develop a very keenly felt sense of Hashem Echad. And if you don't develop a keenly felt sense of Hashem Echad, even if you say it twice a day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, but when you can't, it's very hard for the other things to flow. Of course, they will flow to a degree, because we can't develop the perfection that the Chavis HaLovis would like us to. And even if we can, so it's going to take us 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. This is not something you develop because you came to a wonderful class for Rabbi Milinowitz for 45 minutes. This is something that needs thought, and we don't have time to think anymore. And even if we do have time to think, but like a buzzer goes off in our heads after 13 minutes and we lose concentration. But if you have a finely developed sense of Hashem Echad, now you're on the way. Because everything is Hashem. And then you have Shar HaBechina. And you go, whoa, everything Hashem. And you start thinking about the millions of acts of chesed that Hashem is doing in the next half hour to me. Just my body. Forget about that I can breathe because the wind is carrying oxygen to me. I'm not walking around with an oxygen tank. The winds are bringing oxygen to me. I should use up the oxygen in my vicinity after 30 seconds, no more oxygen. Why is there still oxygen for me to breathe? The wind brings it to me. It's endless, right? That's what we're learning, Shara Bechina. What he's saying here is that this idea of movement being at the root of everything that happens allows you to develop a keen sense that Hashem is doing everything, because he's the one moving everything. So everything that's happening is Ratzon Hashem, except for Bechira. And therefore, when things happen that hurt, you'll have a fine sense, a keen sense that it's Hashem. And Hashem doesn't punch people in the stomach for no reason, or because he wants them to suffer pain. You know, because like your kid, you know, your kid is fighting with his sister, so he just punches her because he wants her to be in pain. Right? No, Hashem does not do that. So you end up. This is the line. You have to think about this. I hope I'm explaining it as well as I should. Between Shar HaBechina of movement is in back of everything, to saying that you should willingly accept Hashem's decrees, and when there's a bump in the road and things hurt, you're willingly accepting it because you know it's Hashem, and you know Hashem only does chesed, because look, the whole world is chesed. You've developed that by learning Shar HaBechina the way it's supposed to be learned, not as a Stama biology book. As a biology book, it's very, very outdated. As a science book, it's very, very outdated. As a medicine book, it's very, very outdated. As a psychology book, it's very, very outdated, right? But it teaches you to think and to contemplate and to be aware of Hashem. So, okay? So it's amazing how this will bring us to Ritzei B'Gzeirosot. Tagia El Ritzono. And as a result, you will win Hashem's favor. Which we want to do. We want Hashem to be proud of us, to be pleased with us. And the Chavadah says this at more length in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh when he talks about bumps in the road and things hurting. He's saying this is a primary nisayon. Hashem tests your mettle many times in this way. This is how David HaMelech reached a madrega that we don't really know what it means. Right? There's a Merkava for the Shechina, and there's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, our three wheels of the Merkava, and David is the fourth wheel. I know that sounds weird. The third wheel, the fourth wheel. David's the fourth wheel, but it's a fourth wheel of a wagon, which needs four wheels. And I say many times, I'm sure you've all heard it from me, why was he Zochet? At what point in his life was he Zochet to this? When Shimi ben Gera cursed him, and he said, I'm cool. It's not him cursing me, it's Hashem cursing me. So, or Hashem told him to curse me. So, you know, I'm okay with it. And everybody says, oh, but he punished him 30 years later. Yeah, because he had Bechira and he did a bad thing. But, you know, your visceral reaction, someone steals from you, so yeah, it's totally, totally, totally legitimate to take them to Beis Din, report them to the police. You know, I'm not passing shilas now. That's totally legitimate. The Torah provides for it. What the Torah provides for, you're allowed to do. Maybe you're even remiss if you don't do it. But certainly, it's legitimate to do it. But your visceral reaction, this is why there's lo sikom velo sitor. Because if you get the guy back, he stole from you your life savings, and then he asks you to borrow a pen. It's amazing what Hashem demands of us. And we say, you gotta be kidding. I should lend you, you know, he has to fill out the form. He's in the police station. And he says, excuse me, can I borrow your pen? You go, borrow a pen? I have a gun in my pocket. I want to shoot you. Right? What does Hashem want from us? And the Chinuch says, Hashem wants you to not take it personally. It's not him. So you can take him to court, and you can take him to the police, and you can try to get redressed, because you don't know if Hashem wanted you to lose the money or not. If the Torah says you can take him to Beis Din, so maybe Hashem just wanted you to have the aggravation. Or maybe Hashem just wanted you to spend the money on the lawyer, who's anyway getting most of the money. No offense. No offense. But, so you don't know. So if the Torah provides for relief, you're remiss. I mean, unless you're like a totally, totally super duper tzaddik and you're just saying, Michael, everybody that ever did anything to me, kol hakavod if you mean that. But I don't know, it's not a responsible thing to do for regular people. It's not responsible. The Torah provides relief. So you have to do it. But your visceral reaction should not be, this guy messed me up. The guy, nobody can mess you up. There's no such thing. And the Chinuch says, that's why there's lo sikom. That's the test, if you take it personally. If you think it was him, so then you're very right. What, are you crazy? I'm going to lend you a pen? But if it's not him, it's like, yeah, why shouldn't you lend him your pen? Why not? He didn't steal from me. Oh, he was Bocher Baran. Hashem's going to punish him. Yeah, no, what you do? Now, there is an aspect of hating Rishayim. But that means that even if he stole from someone else, you're going to feel the same way. You're going to hate him. And experience shows we don't hate him as much when he steals from someone else. As much as... Right? So that means it's not this tzaddikal type. Oh, I hate him because he's a Rasha. I don't hate him because he was Bocher Bara. Yeah, that's right. He chose to do evil. So I hate him because he's like Hitler. He's like, come on. So of course I hate him. Yeah, but if you stole from someone else, you can sleep very well at night. So that's the proof of the pudding. Anyway, this is all not even here. Chavdol is just throwing out these phrases. V'tagia el ritzono, like David HaMelech. David HaMelech reached the highest madrega, the madrega of the Avos, where he was seen fit to be the place where Hashem's Shechina resides in this world, because of a simple, well, not simple, because of that story. Because when Shimi ben Gera cursed him, he didn't get upset, he didn't get angry. He said, Hashem omelo kalel. Even recognizing that the guy did an Aveira and it was also to do what he did, and years later he told Shlomo HaMelech to punish him. But that's, you know, years later means it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't a strike back. Tagiel Ratzono, you will find favor in the eyes of Hashem, because Hashem will see that you're really, you're with him, and you understand him. The Tiach Rischa L'Tov, and everything is going to turn out good. And that's what trusting in Hashem means. That's what part of relying on Hashem, that you have these thoughts of what Hashem is and how Hashem works and his relationship with you and your relationship with him. So chesed yisov v'venu. Now, does it always turn out to our benefit the way we would like it to? Of course not. Of course not. We see it doesn't. Now, really, we don't see that it doesn't, I would even say, because you don't know if you're seeing a Baal Bitachon or not. People look very firm and walk the walk and talk the talk, but you don't know what's going on in their heads. And even in your own head, you know, we don't really know. But so that's first of all. But that's not what Chazal says. That's what I'm saying. But Chazal doesn't say that. He just says it's going to turn out good. Now, he's talking about a boteach b'Hashem, and again, it doesn't mean the good that we'd like, that we would do if it was up to us. We have very limited vision, and we don't know what's at stake, and we don't know what's good and what's bad. And people make terrible decisions all the time. Every day, people make terrible decisions, and they think they're making wonderful decisions. Okay. Now we go on to the next topic of Shara Bechina. This was all like a mind flow, you know, free association thinking from thinking about movement in the Bria. So from that led him to say that Hashem is doing everything, and that led him to say Hashem is even doing the things that hurt, and therefore you will feel more that Hashem is doing everything in your life, and you'll be more appreciative and more thankful, and you will be more aware of Hashem, and you'll be more embarrassed to do an Aveira, and then you'll realize more keenly that everything Hashem does is chesed. And then he starts to describe willingly accepting bumps in the road, even more than bumps, and you will find favor in the eyes of Hashem. Ba'batech b'Hashem, chesed yisod v'venu. U'mimah sh'roi l'cho libchon bo, me'inyoni ha'olam, he says, another thing to study about this world, she'testakal tomid, and now he just talks now from a Shar HaBechina angle. Look at how things end up. We tend to have very short-sighted vision, and we look at things, we want instant gratification, and we seize what happens instantly. He says, you know, if something happened to your friend, why don't you look what ended up happening? Look like 5 years down the road. Check up on your friend. See what happened 5 years later. Right? Oh, you got fired for a job? Check 3-5 years later. You'll see you got a better job. This didn't work out. That worked out. He couldn't find an apartment to live in. He ended up moving here, and he became a prominent figure in the new city. He says, train yourself, and this is Shar HaBechina training, she'testakel tamid ba'achris ha'dvarim. When you look around at people's lives, look at what ultimately happened, the final outcome. She'hem miskashim aleinu, things that appear at first to be very difficult, umizdamnim lanu, and they happen to us. The tirben plia gadola, you'll be amazed. Ki harbe dvorim boam al korchenu, you'll be amazed at the number of things that happen against our will, meaning we're dissatisfied with it, we're angry, we're upset, we're annoyed, we're depressed, we don't know what we're going to do. Nushabeach achrisam. At the end you go, if I was a good teacher, I would make everybody, I'm not going to do it. I would make everybody in this room stand up now and say such a, there's no question that everybody, the Chavetz Chaim mother says you'd be amazed at how many things happen today. Like I can think of countless things that this is true in my life. That at first when it happened, angry, upset, resentful, annoyed, sad, etc. And now I look back and I go, whoa, because of that, I got this, and because of that I moved here, and because of that I did this, and because of that this opportunity opened up, and because of that this, and like it's astonishing. Do it. Try it. Think of things that happened to you, and then think, how did it end up? I told you, I have permission from Shraga Rosenberg to, he ended up in jail for 3 years. Through an act of self-defense, but the courts paskened he shouldn't have done it. So he went to jail for 3 years. Baruch Hashem, he was in the Lakewood Yeshiva jail. Where this Siddurim and learning and davening with a minyan 3 times a day, and this is a base medrash, and the only thing is the fence around, he can't walk out. Which is a big thing. Not having freedom is a terrible punishment. You're away from your wife and your family. He learns with his kids at night on the phone. But if there's a guy bigger than you and back of you waiting for the phone saying, hurry up, you hurry up. But he's my prime example. I always have permission from him to say this over, that you know, I say, Shraga, do you wish it never happened? He doesn't fluently say, of course I wish it never happened. A lot of good things happened to him because of that experience. And he felt it, and he's not so quick. Obviously, he wishes that those things would have happened in a different way. But that's already, you know, we don't live in Gan Eden. We live in this world. And things are bumpy, and things happen, and you know. And again, I'm sure things happen to me that I think they would break a person. They broke me. But you know, you live through it. Nobody commits suicide, Baruch Hashem. Some people do. Some people do because they don't believe this, and the world looks like bleak, and there's no hope. And what are they going to do? But that's a minority of a minority of a minority. And it might even be a mental illness. It's certainly hashkafically terrible. It's osur, by the way, in case it's also very osur. But it's hashkafically terrible. The point is, this is an amazing statement Chavis Lavovis makes. And you say, how can we prove him wrong? Okay, take a year out of your life. You're not doing anything anyway, ladies. Come on. Take a year out of your life. Become a sociologist, professional sociologist. Interview people. Set up a website. It can be done nowadays with the web. In fact, you don't even have to take a year off of your life. Set up a website called A Bad Thing Happened to Me, and Years Later I Realized How Good It Was. Or days later, or hours later, or years later. And sometimes decades later. You know, and invite, send it around. Hey, that's a good idea. Let's do that project. And let's see if the Chavis Halbavis is right or wrong. Chavis Halbavis says, he doesn't say all of the time, but he says, realize that you will realize it. And you will be astonished. The Tirabahem Plia Gadola. Amazing, he says. How many things happen against our will? Now sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes I lose a job and I'm fired, and a year later I get another job. And it's not a better job at a higher salary. It's a worse job at a worse salary. Right? But in that year, I tell you how people react. Men in the shul, happened to plenty of men. They learn more. they develop their bitachon more, they're davening better, they are more aware of their dependence on Hashem, and if you undergo these things and you use it, and then you look back, so now you say, well, I have a worse job and it pays me less money, but I'm so much further ahead in my spiritual life, which is the life that counts, and thank you, Hashem. Really, they say that. You know, it sounds weird and it's funny, but they say, thank you, Hashem. I'm happy this happened to me, because I was stuck in a spiritual rut, and every day was the same, and I was just not climbing, and I wasn't growing, and I wasn't steiging, and now I got a jolt, and I, oh my goodness, you know, and every davening now had more meaning, and I felt like I was talking to Hashem, and I, you know, I used to say, oh, darn it, I have to daven again. You know, you're not man, so you don't know. You have to daven three times a day, you have to go to shul, daven with a minion. That's not so easy. And I, all of a sudden, like for that year, I found myself looking forward to the next. I couldn't wait for Mincha. I couldn't wait for Ma'ariv. I couldn't wait for the next tefillah where I could talk to Hashem again and pour out my heart. I used to run away and say, darn it, I have to daven again. It's Mincha time, it's Ma'ariv time. And my whole outlook changed. Thank you. Oh, Hashem, thank you. What? Thank you. He lost the job and he's getting worse pay. But he's alive. He's alive. He's not dead. He's not starving to death. And this is real. Ladies, I'm not making up fairy tale stories. You know, I'm not telling you bedtime stories or fairy tale stories. I'm talking about real people, real life, real reactions. Really, you have very good people in the shul. I'm like amazed. You know, I never stop yelling at them. But if you promise not to tell anybody, the women are always good. I say, I really want to resign as rabbi and become president of the ladies' league. That would be much more satisfying to me. But even the men, if you promise not to tell anybody, I said this. They're really, really good people here. Really. Now, you could say it's elaborate, you know, these are people that moved to Eretz Yisrael. So it's not like, Klal Yisrael is great, you know, but it's not a random sampling. It's people that gave up. A lot of them gave up a garage and an attic and a finished basement and two cars and a lawn, you know, and they're cramped into a four-room apartment. You know, and the biyuv is not working the way it's supposed to. You know, because they're living in Eretz Yisrael and they're happy about it. So you are dealing with special people who, and women, of course, it's not easy, harder for them to move. You're dealing with, I'm saying, I'm not just being a romantic. It's a great sampling because everybody here moved to Eretz Yisrael and everybody was nobody moved here. Maybe one or two people out of 150 families moved here because tuition is cheaper. Maybe. But most people, overwhelming, virtually everyone was Moser Nefesh to move here. So you're dealing with good people. So, okay. But really, people are ready to say, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. I have more time to learn. I have more time to chesed. I'm more aware of Hashem in my life. And I look back now, I was in a rut. So sometimes it's that. And sometimes you say, wow, I had to stay home because I lost my job. And I learned patience. Or my wife would have thrown me out of the house. So I learned how to be patient. And I learned how to not get angry. Or, right, these things happen. I learned how to... Chas v'shalom, if you react the wrong way and you get depressed and you curl up in the fetal position and you stay in bed a whole day, that happens to some people. That happens to people who don't have Hashem in their lives. So that's why he says, this is such an interesting thing to put into Shar HaBechina. Look around, he says, and you'll be amazed at how many times things that are initially hurt come out good, and you applaud the final result. Uneshabeach achrison. And you know, the opposite's true by Rishoyim. The opposite's true by Rishoyim. Haman was on top of the world. He was so happy. He got invited to Esther's party. No one was invited except for him and the Melech 2 days in a row. He's on top of the world. He sees Mordechai. He has a tree. He prepares a tree. He's like, boom. Right? He wasn't going to a party, as Rabbi Avigdor Miller says. He wasn't going to a party. He thought he was going to a party. He was going to his execution. That's the party he was going to.